Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks to all of our listeners that are tuning in early this morning.
I know, bright and early.
But when you have great guests, sometimes you just have to do it earlier.
You got to make exceptions sometimes.
That's right. Got to work around their schedules, too.
Right.
I'm excited about our show today for a couple of reasons. You know, we talk about the market in Atlanta, and we talk about business in general, and it not being such a great time, and we've had some guests come on recently and talk about their struggles. But as it comes to hiring employees and retaining them, some people really have it down to a science. And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to that. Sometimes you have great employees, but not great corporate communication, or you might not have healthy employees. So this morning, I'm excited about our show for a couple reasons. We have some experts on our show in all those different areas, and we also have Jackson Healthcare at the end of the show talking about a successful company here based here in Atlanta that has done all those things right. So all of y'all, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. But this morning, we're going to start with Hank. Hank Darren is with Factor 7. We're anxious to hear all about that. He's the managing principal and majority owner. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Amy.
So, Hank, we're talking about employee satisfaction and retention. Tell us about Factor 7 and how that works in.
Well, Factor 7, actually, we got our name from the concept of employee satisfaction. And we actually, employee satisfaction is a very nebulous term. It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But we found that with mid to large-sized companies that we can come in and really help them understand what employee satisfaction is. And employee, generally, the companies that we're working for are trying to get onto the 100 best companies to work for in the nation. And mm-hmm. we work for a couple of those companies. But They have understand that they need to go in and understand the true components of what is inside employee satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten it down to where there are seven factors, and that's the name of our company. And the seven factors that we're talking about are pay and benefits, the company culture, relationships between employees, coworkers, and supervisors, managers, and clients, company leadership. Is the company an ethical company? Do they have a true vision? Are they true on their vision to employees, their stakeholders, and so forth? The fifth one is work life balance. Does the company have a good emphasis on that? You know, we'll be talking about wellness and those types of programs later that has a lot to do with that. Are the companies flexible? And then we go in and we can evaluate the department and company policies to see if they're open and practical and fair to employees. And then finally, does the company have good opportunities for advancement?
Mm-hmm.
So we can go in and understand all those factors and survey employees and survey management and survey the company.
So when you're going into a company, how does a typical company fare? Are most companies doing a really good job in these areas, or some struggling? What have you found?
Interesting. We evaluate each one of these levers, and a lot of companies do well in many of them. Like we would go in and say four out of the seven levers.
Right. So is that good? If you're doing well in four out of seven, does that mean you're above average company?
No. What we try to do is the ones that are good, we just leave alone. But the ones that are, the three that aren't working or the
right.
one that isn't working, we go in with a, since we're a communication firm, we can go in and quickly work on the issues.
On improving the issues,
exactly.
Right.
And that's the way it kind of works.
You mentioned better communication. How do you think that equates to employee satisfaction? Because we talk about all these great benefits, and whether it's wellness programs or work-life balance, it still has to be communicated. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. How do y'all go about that? Does it just depend on the company? How do you evaluate someone's needs and then move forward with the communication?
Well, everything I mentioned in the seven factors, and that's why we feature this as our company name and so forth. It's a good place to get into a company because you do it's a big study. You do this evaluation, but communication can touch on every one of those factors. A lot of the work we do is inside of pay and benefits. lot of the work we do is inside that work-life balance. A lot of the work, you know, company leadership, for example, we can help. We can actually help executives, help executives expound on their vision a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So all of these things we can work on. But if we would just key on pay and benefits, for example, a lot of times employees, they have these wonderful benefits, and companies are spending, like big companies, like the largest Fortune 100 companies are probably paying somewhere between $100 million to $700 million on their benefits.
Right.
And they think what they have are good benefits, and they put these benefits out to employees, and they allow the employees to pay a portion of it. And what you're ending up with at the end of the day is companies are spending these enormous amounts, but the employees don't like the benefits. And mm-hmm. a lot of that has to do with communication, to be honest with
mm-hmm.
you. For example, just educating the employees about their benefits, just giving the employees a proper experience in which to understand their benefits, in which to promote the benefits, which to enroll in the benefits,
mm-hmm.
and then post enrollment to provide a continuum so employees can use the benefits that they're offered.
Sure,
that's where communication can help.
And these strategies on the communication end, are they electronic and paper? Is it a combination of the two?
We would do everything that matters, including social media at this point.
Interesting.
There's companies still use paper for their open enrollment, but there are a lot of communicate with companies. It's a very complex thing, especially with large companies that have perhaps 50 to 100,000 employees. And we go on an audience basis. In other words, we identify each of the audience within a corporation, and then we do it on a generational basis. In other words, the age groups basically within a company.
So, like an older group may not be as savvy with social media, and you might do something with them than you would
exactly.
with the younger.
Perfect. Yep.
Right.
Interesting. You know, you mentioned the wellness, so I would like to introduce our next guest, and then we will open it up for mm-hmm. a roundtable discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about communicating wellness, and we all know that, you know, it's important to be healthy, but our next guest is here to tell us a little bit more about why companies would want to bring on a wellness program within their organization. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Dr. David Rurick.
Amy, it's good to see you again. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, absolutely. So Strategic Benefit Solutions, you serve as the Vice President in Medical Management, or the Medical Director there. Tell us what Strategic Benefit Solutions is, and then we want to know all about the wellness.
Sure, thank you. SBS is a Atlanta-based full-service benefit consultancy. Our client base is primarily the population from about 150 employees to 10,000, the middle market. We're the Atlanta location of a much larger organization, the Benefit Advisors Network, and I serve as medical director for that group. And basically, we have about 3 million members, but about 10,000 employees. And each one of our locations, like SBS, has its own geographical area. We cover the Georgia market. So we focus primarily on helping employers manage their benefit costs by improving the health status of their employee workforce and improving productivity.
So if someone's listening and that doesn't mean anything to them, walk us through that process, because we're talking about lowering premiums, really. I mean, if you don't have a healthy employee, maybe walk us through that scenario. Someone that's using a lot of pharmacotherapy, they might smoke, they might have diabetes. Tell us the expense or the cost of that and how a wellness program can help.
Well, you know, a lot of the academic work in this area has been done by Dee Eddington, Dr. Eddington, up at the University of Michigan, a good friend of mine. And he has repeatedly showed through multiple academic studies on his population base, which is over 2 million members in many of the Fortune 50 companies over 20 years, that those individuals in your organization that are at high risk, they have maybe five or more risk factors, like they smoke, they're overweight, they're sedentary. You compare the cost of those individuals to somebody who has 0 to 2 risk, and there's almost a 36% to 40% difference in their overall cost to the employer. This is a combination of disability cost, direct medical health care cost, replacement cost, workers' comp, et cetera. So there's a huge cost that health has on the benefit side as well as the productivity side for every employer.
Now, is this when you're dealing with the smaller end of those businesses, if somebody in the business has some health issue that's a major health issue, can't that highly impact what their insurance will be in the coming years?
It can. You know, you've got two groups of insurers. You've got the smaller insurer that's fully insured. They're buying a premium, basically.
Right.
And for the most part, they're thrown into a larger pool and a little more, to use the term, community rated. That's not true in a lot of states, but they're not a credible group that's based purely on their experience. But in the larger employer segment where you're self-funded and every claim comes right out of your bank account,
right.
Then you have the risk for sick and unproductive employees, and you need to get them healthy.
So then it is in their best interest to keep as many people as healthy as possible.
It's in everybody's best interest, because even in the smaller employer field, if your population is using a lot of services, you're going to get a big premium hike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about premium hikes. There are some statistics I read recently about the cost of a pregnancy and childbirth for a woman that's healthy and have of a healthy weight as opposed to someone that's 50 pounds overweight. I mean, you talk about the difference in a medical cost. It very quickly adds up. And then you talked a little bit about the pharmacotherapy, too, about you know, someone that has high risk. Tell us how managing one's health can maybe get you away from taking the medicine that might be.
Well, you know, I do a lot of medical claim and pharmacy claim data analytics to help identify cost drivers within organizations to develop a 3 to 5 year strategy and how to move the population to a healthier state. And one of the things that I am consistently seeing is that the major cost drivers in most large organizations are conditions that are weight-related.
Right.
We know that our American population is 67% overweight. Almost a third of us are obese, and it's a major cost driver. So we also know from a medical standpoint, if you're a diabetic and you lose 10% of your body weight, you normalize your blood sugar and get off your diabetic maintenance meds.
Mm-hmm.
If you have high cholesterol and you lose 7 to 10% of your weight, you bring your cholesterol under 200. We know that if you've got severe back pain and you lose your 10% body weight, bingo, that back pain goes away. So a lot of our focus is now on weight-related illnesses.
And are you finding some strategies work better than others?
Back to Hank's point, I think that every organization is different. Some are single location, some are multiple location. It really depends on how you communicate the programs and how you engage the population. That's the key. No program's worth its salt if you don't get people to participate in it. So we use a variety of techniques to engage people, from benefit design to value-based pharmacy design to activities that are just fun and to participate in.
Yeah.
And that social networking system as well.
Exactly. And you said that are fun to participate in. We talked a little bit when Hank was mentioning one of his seven factors about the work-life balance. Have you found that the wellness programs also create a healthy camaraderie among employees? I mean, can you speak to that at all? Maybe some success stories that you've seen?
Yeah. Does it improve retention because they feel more committed to the community? You know, the business has a community?
Absolutely. I think one of the aspects of a successful company is that participation is not being driven by incentives. Although incentives are important in the beginning, participation in a successful company is driven by personal commitment. People who have experienced the benefits of getting better, and now they have an internal commitment to actually continue with their weight loss, their exercise, or whatever. So that is very much driven by social interaction, by teams, by competitions, by having the event be fun, by a cultural change, really, within the organization. It really is all about culture.
It definitely is. And cultures that embrace the wellness, you can really see a difference. And it seems like those are places where people really like to work in general.
Oh, there are. There are some companies that do this so well that people go to work for those companies simply because they have that reputation. There are the Lincoln Platings, there's the American Cast Iron and Pipe, there are, you know, Florida Power and Light, there are the J&Js, the Procter & Gamble's. You know, people actually know that it is a fun place to work and that the employer is very interested in investing in their human capital.
Now, is this something that has to be implemented, like, top-down, and the upper management really has to get behind this for this to succeed all the way down to the, you know, to every employee?
Yes, Lee, that is the key point. Just like Hank says, there are seven critical steps to his business. There are seven critical steps to implementing a population health management program. And the number one is vision from the top. If you don't have buy-in from the CEO or CFO, you might as well close the door, lock it, and go home, because it's not going to work.
Absolutely. So having these programs in place and communicating them well is a huge value. I want to introduce our next guest, and then we'll open this up for a roundtable. You know, you hear about the best places to work in Atlanta, and every time you pick up that Business Chronicle and you go through them and you think, gosh, I'd like to work there. But you wonder why those employees are happy. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning, Mike from Jackson Healthcare. Welcome.
Good morning, Amy. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So, Mike, tell us what your title is at Jackson Healthcare and how you have consistently been named one of the best companies to work for in Atlanta.
Well, my name is Mike Haifa, and I'm the Executive Vice President of Human Resources for Jackson Healthcare Companies. And I have to tell you, this morning, listening here to David and Hank, it becomes real clear that we're doing everything right, and it's exciting. You validated everything that we do, and that makes me feel really good, because we do have a great culture. And what you said about culture being the character of the organization, that's what we're all about. Our founder, Rick Jackson, is truly a proponent of all of these things. It's all about the people. When I first started to talk to Rick about going to work at Jackson Healthcare, one of the first things he shared with me, that his number one asset in the company are his people, are the associates that work at Jackson. And when you have that commitment right from the top, it's very, very easy to create the culture around the health and the wellness and all of the things that we've done so successfully at Jackson Healthcare to make us year after year in the top 10 best places to work in Atlanta.
I know the Inc. magazine article that talked about the top companies for 2009 talked about your growth. And as I was looking at the list of companies, there was one thing that just resonated, and it was culture. So talk a little bit about your culture and how you have incorporated the health and wellness into it.
Well, the culture at Jackson Healthcare, really our core values are very simple. Different from most organizations, we talk about others first. We talk about esteem the team, maximize potential, strive for excellence, and do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that is across all companies within the organization. Jackson Healthcare is an organization combined of many, many companies. And within that, each company president on down through the organization understands what the core values are and drives the core values, and we live the core values in the company. When we say others first, we talk about the respect for the individual. We talk about to look and treat others the way you want to be treated, which is a true core value within our organization. We are very team-oriented in everything we do in the organizations. And one of the things we hear often from new associates after we do the interview process is that the team was so excited about what they do and where they work. And that just generates the electricity throughout the whole organization. When you have people who support one another and work together in a team, it becomes very real for everyone involved. You put the team first. You don't put the I first. You put the team first, and everything comes together for us. We strongly encourage people to maximize their potential. One of the sayings we have, if it's to be, it's up to me. And you take the ball and you run with it. We have people who, within our organization, refer other candidates. 65% of our new hires within Jackson Healthcare are internal referrals.
That says a lot, definitely. So you mentioned, too, when we spoke about the retention of those employees.
We're very fortunate, very, very blessed, actually. We closed out 2009 with an 87% retention rate of our associates. And many of our companies are in the professional staffing business. And for those of you who are familiar with the staffing industry, turnover in the staffing industry runs somewhere in the 65 to 70% range annually. And we run around 13%. It's quite different. And a lot of it has to do with the initiatives within our program. You talked about commitment, getting people involved in our wellness plan. 60% of our associates are in our health and fitness plan. When we built the building, we'll be in there 2 years now, we looked at what was important to the associates. What did the associates want? And we surveyed the associates, and we asked them, what would you like to see in this building? And the things that they asked for was, we wanted to take care of our bodies and along with our wallets, so to speak. And we went ahead and did many of the things that they asked for. We put in a world-class fitness facility with a racquetball court, unbelievable equipment that's there. And people use the facility. It's very, very active early in the morning. It's active at lunchtime. It's active after work. And we have wellness initiatives through the Coliseum, which we named it. We have individuals challenging each other. We have a triathlete team within the organization. We have all types of programs that we offer initiatives back to the individual. And so on staff, we have a full cadre of trainers, professional trainers that will work with individuals around their specific needs, their health needs. We have services that we offer to all of the associates if needed. We have a massage therapist that comes in once a week, and you make appointments and you go. We have not only for the wellness, but we also have a hair salon within the fitness center to take care of the external as well as the internal body. There's so many wonderful things that the fitness center offers that people will take advantage of on a daily basis.
And
that
healthy eating options, too. I mean, first time I was there, someone said, let's meet, and I thought they said cafeteria, and I got there, and I was like, this isn't a cafeteria at all. This is a really nice restaurant.
That's Chow. That is our in-house dining, and we also prepare foods for individuals with special dietary needs, and we have a full staff there that will put together menus that are healthy choices for us. And it's very exciting to be able to offer that for associates. And people don't leave at lunchtime. They're there, they're eating, and they work
right
out.
And so you have that community feel. Now, is that something that when you built this new facility a couple years ago, prior to that, were you, each of the individual companies within the company, were they spread out, and this gave you a chance to all be kind of in one location? Was that the intent?
That was the intent, to bring us all together in the location.
Now, did that improve all of the, you know, did that create a tighter culture when you did that, when you made that move?
What it did was it solidified for us that all the companies were living the values. And it came together for us as a senior executive team to look at that and see all of that happening right before our eyes.
Right.
It's very, very exciting.
And there's also a game room.
That's it. That's
yeah. There, I liked the game
with
room.
With video games.
That's a stress room.
And ping pong. And I thought, gosh, I don't think I would ever leave. And people's families are also welcome to come, too.
Absolutely.
Which is a really nice touch.
Absolutely. We do welcome families, actually, into the fitness center. Families are welcome to come in and participate in the fitness center also.
So you do a lot of hiring. You've been in human resources for over 20 years. What are some of the changes you've seen in the industry, and maybe walk us through a good candidate?
Well, a good candidate today is different. Obviously, there's books and articles written around the generational differences today, and how do you attract the millennium generation all the way up through the post-World War II who are still in the workplace. And we have all of the different multicultural generations in there. And what we look for in individuals is understanding the culture. We interview individuals around the culture. We want to make sure that an individual coming into our organization fully understands the culture that we have and understands those five pillars that we talk about with others first. We do an assessment on every individual that comes through the door, and that assessment that we get back is a characteristic assessment,
mm-hmm.
and it's a personality type of trait on an individual. And that's very telling if an individual will fit into the culture.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
What percentage of the people that apply fit in?
Well, for most positions that we interview for, we will see close to 45 to 50 candidates. And when I say see, either
right,
through resume,
sure.
we'll review 45 to 50 for one selection.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's a rigorous process that we go through.
Right.
And then once someone's hired, how do you assure that they are fitting in and integrated properly?
That's a very exciting topic, Amy, for us right now. Our onboarding process has gone through a metamorphosis. What used to be getting an individual on board at Jackson Healthcare and coming in and signing up and doing the logistical paperwork has turned out now to be all the pre-work that's done through the electronic age that we live in, that people are given all of that information prior to. That's all filled out so that when they come to work on the first day, it's all about the culture. And the onboarding process at Jackson Healthcare lasts for 1 year. And people look at me when I say that. It's a major commitment to an individual. I have the privilege and honor of sitting with every new employee that comes through the door on their very first day. I'm the first person, point of contact, that they sit with at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I spend about an hour with the individual. And I talk about the culture. Mm-hmm. I talk about what it's all about to be a part of the Jackson Healthcare family. And I truly believe that we are a family. When you look at our core values and what we're all about, it is an extension of Rick Jackson. It is an extension of what he believes in, what he has created over 30 years in the industry and being an industry leader. And that's exciting for individuals. I've had people come back to me and say, wow, I've never been through anything like this before. So in that first hour, we talk about our philosophies. We have a charitable arm of our organization, and we talk about the philanthropy that we do. We have a medical missions that we support. We have our own in-house 501c3 in charitable pieces, but we're very involved in the local communities, so much so, as a matter of fact, we support one organization in the Alpharetta community called PAL, which is the Police Athletic League.
Sure.
And as part of our wellness plan, too, we sponsor their 5K run. And all of our companies compete with one another in-house and start training. Actually, the training is happening because the race is coming up in August, the third Thursday in August. And it's very, very exciting for us to offer those types of things. And people get involved. We believe in the work-life balance, and that is very, very important. There's a tremendous correlation between a healthy human being and a productive human being in the workplace. And we see that over and over again. We offer opportunities for individuals who are in situations where they're caught these days sort of in the middle, trying to take care of elderly parents, take care of their children, and they have that struggle. We will work around flexibility with schedules
wow.
and allow people to do some things that they need to do.
As long as they get the job done,
get the job done.
Stay
focused. It's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've talked so much about culture that I really feel we need to open up for a roundtable discussion if we can. When you talk about culture and purpose, Dr. Rurick, can you maybe highlight how wellness initiatives and things tie into creating that culture?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I think that Mike has said one thing that's very, very important, and that is that the culture is driven from the top. Mm-hmm. Just as Jackson Healthcare it follows the vision of its original leader, that's true with most organizations. It is set at the top, and it filters on down, but the real work is done from the bottom up. You know, it's surprising to me how many organizations, when they put together their off-site strategic planning meetings, their vision and mission statement reviews, their 5, 10, how many pillars of success they want to list, you know, and post on the front door, that they don't consider their internal customers. They spend a lot of time focusing on their external customers, but their internal customers, their employees, are oftentimes left out of that vision statement. And a corporation that does that eventually pays the price with high turnover, with you know, a morale issue, and a focus that's external rather than internal. And it's surprising how manufacturing companies will spend a lot of time and effort on safety and prevention and equipment maintenance and not do that same type of prevention and maintenance for their human capital.
It's interesting that you say that. We had a study done by Emory University about the engagement, and one of the areas that they said we've done poorly in is the customer focus. We didn't focus on the customer. We focused on our employees. And I think the results speak for themselves because we did it that way.
You know, how many times have we been told that you can't love others unless you love yourself?
Right.
You know, it all starts from inside the person. Mm-hmm. And if things are in balance, and that's really what we're talking about here, balance, balance between work through life, that's what health is. Health is, wellness is, vitality and energy. It's not the absence of disease. Mm. You know, health is really having energy and vitality in your life. And to get that, you have to have a real balance between your mental, your physical, your spiritual. You know, that three-legged stool has to stand on each one of those three legs. And it's the work-life balance in most corporations that causes disease. Mm.
When we, yeah, you're definitely right about that. When we talk about culture and purpose, Hank, maybe tell us how better communication really does help that. Because you could have the best wellness program in the world, and you could have the best programs like Mike is talking about, but how do you go about communicating it effectively? I mean, maybe tell us what Factor 7 does a little bit differently to communicate.
Okay, well first I just wanted to comment on Mike and Dave's recent comments. And with regard to Mike, I'd you know, I think your enthusiasm is incredible, and it's quite inspirational. And it's obviously that you know, your wellness programs and your entire company do reflect you know, people like you. And it's very interesting that you would. I've never seen a company where the executive VP sits with all of the employees, and it just is quite inspirational. So.
Thank you.
And with regard to Dave just said, he's got it right on. You know, wellness we use, and we capture a lot of things within these wellness programs. And a company has a wellness program. People look at the wellness program, and they view it in many different ways. And a lot of times they work with it. But when you truly get down into what moves a person, if you can get to what Mike was just speaking of, that's what we do in communication. Because, you know, we don't just stop at communicating through messages and all the other things that you normally would communicate. We try to make the employee experience, what they're experiencing with anything that they do, whether it regards to value statements or everything, but try to make it internal to them. With pay and benefits, you know, benefits, the way they're communicated can be, you know, a lot of it's perhaps done on a website or diskette or whatever different media you use. But if you're not understanding what a true employee in any generation or, you know, in any gender or anything, if you're not understanding what they truly need, you're never gonna reach them properly.
Right.
And so with regard to how communication can help all that, is employees are first for us. And everything else, you know, everything else is just What you're going to get from that is just higher productivity, higher profit, everything like that, because they're going to be concentrating on what they need to do with the customer and so on and so forth. And couldn't have been more eloquently said by these two gentlemen.
Why do you think that so many companies have that disconnect, that they don't have that healthy culture, that, you know, that the Jackson Healthcares are the exception to the rule rather than the rule?
Well, we see a variety of reasons why things aren't going well. We see multiple locations with multiple cultures. It's not a central culture. We see
but is this
bargaining issues that don't allow progress.
But is it a lack of leadership from the top? Is that the kind of the core reason that this happens?
The hardest job in any company is management.
I would say that. I would say that very strongly. We've seen at times, not very often, but some of our leadership that don't get it, don't understand it, and they're not with us anymore.
Right.
I can tell you war stories of companies that we've implemented a population, and we don't call it wellness. We call it population health improvement or population health management, because it's more than just an HRA and biometrics. It means we have to look at your HR hiring policies, mm-hmm. your 360 reviews with employees, your vision and mission statement, how you integrate everything that the health affects, from your disability workers' comp to EAP program to benefits, et cetera. So it's more than just what we classically think of as wellness. But when we go in and we try to do that type of analysis and put together a plan, HR usually gets it. But HR oftentimes aren't the ones that control the purse strings and set the vision for the company. And consequently, if you have a CEO that eventually comes down and says, you know, we've had this. We've had CEOs that have come in and said, you know, I don't really believe I should be involved in any of these work-life issues. My employees, you know, if they want to smoke, if they want to eat the wrong foods, that's their business. And if they want to cost me money, I'll just open up another plant in Brazil where they do the same quality of work for $10 less an hour. And, you know, in that kind of environment, you know you're not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true.
Absolutely. So, Mike, talk a little bit about work-life balance, and you probably see it regularly happening at Jackson Healthcare. Maybe a success story or a warm fuzzy you got from an employee regarding the work-life balance.
We're hearing that all the time about the work life. I think one of the better stories that has happened is we had some challenges around weight loss initiatives. And to look at individuals, just aesthetically, the difference that happens, which is the outward look, is phenomenal. We have individuals that in our organization have lost over 100 pounds. And it, through exercise programs and the competition programs to want to do better and to get themselves fit to run a 5K race, an individual who couldn't have even walked a 5K, know, 2 years ago now is running a 5K. That is exciting. It's very, very exciting. And then to listen to them tell you about what it's done in their work day and how excited they are, how much more energy they have, how much more output that they can have in the workplace, it's just exciting. It's absolutely exciting. And then, you know, to have them tell us about how it impacted their family, their children, their moms, their dads. It's phenomenal. It's just very, very exciting.
Do you have metrics of an ROI?
We are in the process of looking at that. Last year, we believe in our health, we saw a decline in some of our health plans and utilization, and we calculated that to be about a 1.8% decline, but to actually sit and try and put the monetary value on it's
hard.
Still very hard. It's hard.
Is it hard to show an increase in productivity or?
Well, we've seen increases in productivity. Right. Absolutely, we have seen increases in productivity.
I would imagine. Yeah, that's something you can visually see. Mm-hmm. You bring up a good point, Lee, about the ROI, the return on investment of any of these programs and any of these initiatives we're talking about, because obviously it costs money to communicate properly. It costs money to create this culture we're talking about. I would like to go around and just talk about that. I mean, you really have to dive into these programs with faith, thinking that there's going to be an ROI. Can you address that, Dave?
Yeah, I sure can. I'm one of only two consultants, actually, in the United States that's certified in the validation of outcome measurement for wellness and disease management. And the ROI question is really the wrong question. We don't even give an auditor's letter, and we can give an auditor's letter validating the ROI by a vendor, but we don't even offer that service with a guarantee of up to $100,000 unless the employer is 10,000 employees or larger. So in the smaller employer, which is the majority of employers, the ROI is not the question. What you do want to track is the value, or what I call the VOI, value on investment. And that value is normally measured by a reduction in risk factors within the population and an improvement in health status, which it does need to be followed, meaning that you're measuring the average number of risk factors per employee, how many they have. You're measuring the percentage of smokers, the percentage of that are overweight, that are sedentary. You're gathering your health risk assessment data and tracking that, and you may be measuring your financial PMPMs, pharmacy PMPMs, and being sure that they're beating trend. But it's not a calculation of what I spent a dollar, how many dollars did I get back, all right? And that's the ROI calculation. Asking for an ROI on a benefit program like a population health improvement program is like asking the CFO, what is the ROI of providing benefits?
Mm, right. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Because we've struggled with that. We know we're adding value. We know that. We see it. We hear it. And I'll go back to our culture where the associate is the number one value. Mm-hmm. And if you value that, then everything else will fall into place. So we're not hooked on trying to see the monetary value up front. That's not one of our main purposes.
And the productivity issue is very important to measure. Most companies don't do a good job of that, but for every dollar that's reduced in direct medical cost, mm-hmm. and of course the studies that I'm referring to are done with large companies, 50,000 employees, data that we have over 20 years on over 2 million members, but they're big companies. And the data we do have shows pretty consistently that for every dollar in direct medical costs that you reduce because of your health enhancement programming, you are also improving $3 on the indirect side in the areas of productivity. Mm-hmm. So productivity is a much more important aspect of a healthy employee than the reduction in direct medical cost. It's just that most smaller companies don't have good ways of measuring that. Mm-hmm. They don't have absence management systems. They can't measure absence. They can't measure presenteeism. So it's difficult for them to track it. And that's where our firm comes in and provides those types of tools. We do that measurement and that monitoring.
Interesting. What about you, Hank? As far as adding value, we know that there's definitely value in what y'all do. Mm-hmm. Even I like that VOI better than the ROI. Thanks for offering that, Dave, because it's so true. So often we look at the bottom line financially, and there are so many other benefits. What's some of the VOI that your company would offer to another organization?
Well, everything that we do, every proposal that we ever generate has, I'm a former finance and accounting guy, but offers an ROI, and a lot of it has to do with saved medical costs. You mm-hmm. know, when we, especially with regard to benefits and mm-hmm. and the things we do with open enrollment and then trying to change behaviors of employees to get into their wellness plans and do all that. So there are real cost savings mm-hmm. to that. But the VOI is not a new concept to me, but Dave has explained it in a very good way. Communication, if you look at it, if an average human resource or average CEO, they will look at communication as very important. Everyone understands communication is important. But to get a real good communication program done, it takes a lot of time, effort, a lot of different media have to evaluate and sure. do, and it's costly.
Right.
And to get into the game where you're comparing, the productivity, the cost saving, and everything versus the communication, it gets a little muddy, and it's not sure. not been a very very successful way in which we can sell our services.
Maybe I should hone in a little bit on a topic called total compensation. Mm-hmm. Our listeners may not know what that means, but we also refer to it as the hidden paycheck. And when you talk with employees, educating them on that total compensation or that hidden paycheck, is that something Factor 7
yes.
incorporates?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you do that, Mike?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, I want to hinge on that communication, yeah. and how important it is. Mm-hmm. We survey our associates once a year. We do a full human resources survey mm-hmm. about benefits. We do send out a total compensation package annually to everyone. And it's amazing when people get that. Their response to that is phenomenal because they don't realize the hidden money sure, that
right.
they receive mm-hmm. other than in a paycheck. And by doing the survey and asking what's important, what's working for you, we've actually made changes based upon those survey results,
sure.
which is what a survey is intended to do.
Right.
If we're offering...
Not just validate what you're doing.
Right. Exactly. And if we're offering things that are of no value in our the major associate population doesn't see the value in that, we won't continue with that. We will look for alternatives to appease our associates. That's why you survey individuals and you ask them. Earlier, we talked a little bit about evaluation in the 360. Mm-hmm. Every associate of ours, every year, goes through a full 360 with nothing less than 10 of their peers evaluating along with the evaluation process. So everyone understands what's expected of the culture. And better than 50% of the questions on the 360 goes to our culture. Is the individual living the culture? And in that, these five pillars are mm-hmm. related to mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. so that we do understand that everyone must be living the culture, adhering to the culture, and understanding what's expected of them in the workplace.
So here's a question for you, Mike. One of our challenges when we go into a corporation and try to integrate a total population health improvement program is to see if we can get the employer to add to their annual 360 review a discussion of what the employee's personal health and wellness goals are for next year, so that part of their annual merit increase might be based on the attainment of those goals.
I like that.
Yep.
That's very good. We haven't gotten that quite that far yet, but I do like that idea. I'm all about setting goals and accomplishing them, and that's something that's very interesting. I'd like to learn more about that.
Okay,
definitely. You know, we're running out of time, but I want to go around and hear maybe from each of you. I usually ask the question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? But that's kind of hard with this industry. But, you know, maybe take a shot at that, or maybe tell us a success story that you've had in implementing a program or in your industry. How about we start with you, Dave? You look like the light bulb's gone off.
Well, let's see. In 5 years, I hope that I'm producing a much better wine than I am now with my little vineyard in North Georgia, but vinegar now. But... as far as the success story, we have several. I'm not sure if I can relate them here, but City of Fayetteville has been a great client. The Atlanta Falcons Group, Piedmont Hospital, they've all, I think, kind of gravitated towards doing all the right things, and they're building the culture that is necessary to sustain a healthy organization, and we're very pleased with them.
Wonderful. Thanks for being with us today.
And what's the best way people can learn more about you?
The best way is to go to our website, which is S is in Sam, B is in boy, S is in Sam, SPS-benefits.com.
Terrific. And your website has a wealth of information, too, a lot of white papers, a lot of information for our listeners to go on and tap into. And if Dave has sparked your interest, definitely contact him. A lot of knowledge. How many years have you been in this industry? I mean, your background is...
Yeah, I practiced... I was the first physician in East Cobb in 1977 and practiced family medicine there. I had a five-provider practice for 20 years and then was on the ground floor of what's now called the Wellstar Physicians Group. Then was Aetna's Southeast Medical Director for several years, a good learning experience, and I've been in the benefit and consulting side the last 15 years.
Terrific. Wow.
Well, he looks about 40, so I guess he started when he was
good,
two.
That's the wellness.
The red wine.
That's all the wellness.
The red wine, the healthy living. Absolutely. Gosh, thanks for being with us today. Hank, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, Factor 7, you know, one of the units that we have that we really haven't discussed today is we have put together a package for mid to large size companies with regard to ancillary or voluntary benefits. And in 5 years, I hope to be the leader in the country on offering these voluntary benefits. So what we do is we go out and we have probably 20 different benefits. 15 of them may be the disability insurances and so on that would follow core benefits inside a company. Mm-hmm. And then 6 or 7 of them are lifestyle benefits, and that's why I'm going to be talking today, because I like what his program is all about, and I think that would be a wonderful thing to offer to employers. And I'm going to take the reason I want to be best and I'm going to be best is through this whole communication thing. Is I'm going to be able to with the commissions that we would otherwise get off of these voluntary benefits, selling them to corporations, we can put together a communication plan with pretty much soft dollars, if you will. In other mm-hmm. words, it's not going to be a big fee line item. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put together a communication plan that garners all of the employee benefits in it. And employee can result in pushing a button on their intranet, and then all of their benefits will be displayed. And to do that, you know, we're talking about an absolute continuum of communication mm-hmm. With all core benefits, with any of their supplementary benefits, and we're going to be calling them integrated benefits at this point.
Sure.
And all the different benefits are going to be, you know, we work with the major consultants, and all the benefits are going to be integrated.
Sure.
And more for the needs of the various generations we're talking about.
Exactly.
And ultimately, that's what we're going to...
What's the best website for you?
Our website would be... our current website is Factor 7, and that's Factor 7 with a
numerical... The number 7, right.
Numerical 7, group.com.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. And I know some great supplemental benefits we might want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I should have my quacking duck right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm very anxious to see where you are in 5 years, mm-hmm. Hank, because mm-hmm. it's a fabulous idea mm-hmm. and how you're going about communicating the benefits. I think Factor 7 is incredible. I hope folks will go on your website, too, and check it out, because mm-hmm. you do have a lot of good information about the different the 7 factors and how it incorporates into a company.
You know, I guess we don't get enough time to talk about Amy here, but she is a very, very vital influencer at Aflac, and that is one of the primary affiliates for those types of benefits. And no one can do it quite like Aflac, because they've already understood what people need. In other words, they follow our same structure and vision.
Thanks for the plug, Hank.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Thank you for being with us today.
How much did that cost you, Amy?
Yeah, it set me back a little. No, thank you, Hank. Thanks for all of your knowledge and for sharing with our listeners today. Mm-hmm. And now on to another happy Aflac client, Jackson Healthcare.
Oh, thank you.
Mike, we would love to hear from you. Again, you've got so much knowledge and so much experience in this world of HR, and it's so refreshing to meet an HR director that really genuinely cares about their employees, because I meet with a lot of them every day, and not everybody does. And you communicate that so enthusiastically, and your culture is fabulous. Where do you all see yourself in 5 years?
Growth. We will continue to grow. There's no question about it. It's exciting. We are actually in the process of getting ready to grow again this year. We should be looking at adding at least two other companies to the portfolio. And very, very exciting. When you say, where do I see myself? I see myself operating over human resources for all of the Jackson companies, getting the numbers of participation in the health and wellness initiatives up to at least 75% of all associates getting involved. I truly do enjoy the people I work with. I've got a fabulous staff that supports me in my day-to-day operations in human resources, who do also understand what it's all about and put the people first. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important to all of us. And it's just very exciting to be
a part. You sound like a kid in a candy shop. I mean, for an HR person to be in a community that really appreciates the HR component must be really a treat for you.
It is. It's very rewarding on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. We are told very often how much we're appreciated by senior management.
And a lot of times it's kind of a thankless job in corporations. And that's great that your company kind of really appreciates it and really kind of uses that as the forward piece in the pie there.
Yes. It's exciting. I am excited.
Give us your contact information and your website.
It's jacksonhealthcare.com. And please feel free. We've got some open positions.
There you go.
And some of our companies are looking to hire right now. We are growing, thank God, in this economy. We've done very well.
Now, do you guys do good about, you know, jumping from company to company within Jackson?
We support all companies.
Right.
We're a centralized human resources operation that supports all of the Jackson Healthcare entities.
But do employees typically go from one Jackson company to another within the family?
We have done that, yes. Uh-huh. We've had some startups where we've taken individuals who have the knowledge and skill and the depth, and we've actually offered them opportunities to get into startup operations, and they've been very successful.
I think the phone lines are lighting up at Jackson Healthcare.
Really?
Openings? Really? Availability?
Really?
Finally today, I would like to end the show with circling back from last week. This week is actually Pay It Forward week, and I'm getting ready to leave here and go to the Pay It Forward lunch at 103 West. I'm looking forward to that. What Pay It Forward is it's a NetWeavers group. They've been on as a guest. We've been honored to have Bill Littell on the show.
Bob.
I call him Bill. That's
my
pet name for him.
Nickname.
We've been fortunate to have Bob on the show. And so this show this morning, I promised Bob I would do a show and I would pay it forward. So in case the three of y'all are wondering why you're here today, is I think all of y'all needed to meet. I think your businesses are very synergistic. Is that a word?
It's a new word. It's an
I'm making up
word.
Words. I'm calling people different things. I think there's a lot of synergy here in the group. And so I hope that the three of you will connect and prosper. And have I done my job, Lee?
You did a great job.
And Bob, also known as Bill, will be very proud.
That's it.
Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.